of the day and go after them. I don't know if you can say about the family situation right now. I think I can help us all possibly.
We thank you, Father, for all the answered prayers, your Holy Spirit's fruits, gifts, and armor. Thank you also for answering our prayers so quickly in regards to this internet problem we had today. Thank you for getting us back up and running so that we could share with loved ones online. And thank you again, Father, for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness so that we can be ready for the latter rain as well as your second coming. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I noticed the microphone was off halfway through the prayer there. So you may have heard me on with the other mic. But it's nice to know that if we have the internet thing go down again, that Mondo has the ability to pipe the church service through his computer into the room. The only problem is I can't hear anything that's going on or see anything that's going on in the room. Because if my internet's down, I can't even be in the room to see the text chat. I can't tell when you guys are done with the children's story and everything else. So anyway, we're still in last day events. We'll pick it up from where we left off last week, where you were in page, for those of you that have the book, we're in page 29, but for those that don't, just look to your right. It's in the room. We're on letter 59, July 26, 1898. Okay. Hold on a second here. We probably only be able to get through this letter, I think, because it's pretty big. Well, I don't know. Maybe it depends. We're running a little bit behind schedule anyway. But, and also keep it in prayer, folks, that I find a better internet service provider. I'm on a farm, and so that's not easy to do. We've got radio internet, but they're unreliable. And as you've just found out, as well as it's advertised at one speed, but you never get it. It's very, very sluggish. The only reason I keep it is because it has a good upload speed. And I need high-speed upload because of, the audios and stuff, and just working on the website, sending stuff up to the server. It takes a lot of time using dial-up, especially if you're doing like a half-an-hour audio, like of a radio broadcast for an hour. It could take 2 or 3 hours with dial-up, whereas with my internet upload now, it takes like 5-10 minutes tops, which is still pretty slow, some people out there with the cable internet, I mean, boom, 5-10 seconds, it's uploaded. But I don't live in a city, so I'm not going to have that ability, which is fine. I don't, care. All right, letter 59, July 26, 1898. It says, it is the variety and mixture of meat, vegetables, fruit, wines, tea, coffee, sweet cakes, and rich pies that ruin the stomach and place human beings in the position where they become invalids with all the disagreeable effects of sickness upon the disposition. Looking at the American diet and then looking at the American senior citizens, that have had the American diet their whole life, that says volumes. A lot of people say that, that pork, I'll eat pork, it's no big deal, it doesn't really bother me, or I'll eat this bloody meat, like even the clean meats, like a cow or whatever. It's not clean when it's got the blood in it, though. And even if you get the blood out today, what about all the growth hormones and the antiseptics or pesticides or whatever they got in the antibiotics and stuff like that? I mean, the flesh is just loaded with garbage. But this is so true. When you look at someone that has eaten things their entire life and what they come to be in their 60s and 70s, sometimes even 40s and 50s, depending upon the diet and the amount taken in. But for so long, I mean, everybody that I, like when I was growing up that I've run into that have had like heart attacks and whatnot or strokes and survived him. The doctor always tells him the same thing. I mean, finally, the doctor then says, okay, quit eating this, quit eating that, quit eating this. You know? But they should have done that in the beginning. But then if you look at the American Medical Association's suggestions, or the Food and Drug Association's suggestions for a healthy diet, they're setting you up. So that when you're 50 or 60, you have that heart attack, and then they can have a cash cow. Literally. No pun intended. But anyway, continuing, it says, the character becomes perverted, a depraved appetite is established, and the disease religious experience is the result. So this is why it's so difficult to talk to some people that are not of our faith. Because their mind might, even some people that are of our faith that overeat, for example. You can eat all the clean foods you want. But the problem is some people put way too much in front of them. And that has a, hit that one that says monitor. Thanks. And you know, if you overeat, it's just, it doesn't matter if it's clean or not. It's going to cloud the brain. It's going to cause problems. I can speak volumes on that. I mean, Sister White has a lot on that, about overeating. Even if it's clean foods, you know, it causes a problem big time, especially with being able to understand scriptural facts and truth. That's why a lot of our friends that we have, well, I still consider them friends, even though they don't look upon me with much happiness, that have a hard time understanding certain aspects of this movement that we're in. Everything from the latter rain to calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon. Some of them have a real hard time with it. Oh, like some of them will actually call it Babylon, but they don't say, let me take that back. They won't call it Babylon, but they do say you should come out. Well, if you should come out and it's not Babylon, then you should go back in and clean it up. Doesn't make any sense to come out unless it's Babylon. But they can't discern, and some of them is because of the diet. Whether it's overeating or just the food that they're eating, or the fact that they're not getting into the scriptures. But this case in point that I was bringing up a minute ago, I'm not going to mention any names, was it's an overeating thing. And just looking at, I did some research in Sister White in regards to the effects of overeating on a human, and most of it has to do with the mind and the ability to understand. You know, so keep them in prayer if you have loved ones that are having that problem. All right, continuing, it says, the words of the apostle to the Romans should be repeated to all churches and to all families. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Of course, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The perfection of Christian character is attainable. As we approach the close of Earth's history, we will find that the whole world is becoming a laser house of disease, and transgression of the law of God is bringing the sure result. In the fifth chapter of this book, the commandment, of course, she looks like she's talking about Deuteronomy chapter, or Deuteronomy itself, because it says here that she quoted from Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 9. It says, in the fifth chapter of this book, the commandments of God are repeated. The whole chapter is very definite. Read verses 29 to 33. Again, the requirements of God are given in the eighth chapter, verses 1 to 15. These requirements were to be framed into song and sung in the congregations of Israel, lest they should forget them. The entire chapter contains the expressed will of God. I present the word of the Lord, God of Israel. Because of transgression, the curse of God has come upon the earth itself, and upon the cattle, and upon all flesh. Human beings are suffering the result of their own course of action in departing from the commandments of God. The beasts also suffer under the curse. I mean, we see this all throughout Scripture. We see how Israel had to deal with this. We even saw how Pharaoh had to deal with that, you know, even though he wasn't even part of the flock, you know. But the end result of sin is everything around you. I mean, like it's always been said, no man is an island. What you do affects those around you, including the animals, obviously. Meat eating should not come into prescriptions for any invalids from any physician from among those who understand things. Disease in cattle is making meat eating a dangerous matter. So she's more or less confirming what we already see today. Again, this was written in 1898, over 100 years ago. And she's saying disease in cattle back then. Nowadays, I remember when I was growing up, the FDA wouldn't put that blue stamp on the beef if that beef, like if that cattle or that cow, whatever, had a cold. If it had some kind of sickness, they said, get the cow healthy before you bring it in. As far as they understood it to be healthy, of course. They didn't realize packing it with all the blood and stuff is already degrading the meat downhill anyway. But they didn't realize that. They did the best they can to get it as healthy as they can because they didn't have any wisdom in that respect. But nowadays, and then later on in the 70s or 80s, they said, well, just cut the disease area off the animal. If it's got, you know, tumorous lesions sticking out, cut it out. And now the whole animal goes in. It doesn't matter. And now they're mixing pork with beef and all this other stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's not a safe practice to eat meat. I mean, some people say, oh, you know, even sandwich keepers think it's okay to eat, like go to Burger King or McDonald's and eat beef because beef is clean. Well, yes, it is, according to Scripture, but the beef that they sell at McDonald's and Burger King or any kind of restaurant is, first of all, going to have the blood in it, which the Bible says you shouldn't touch. And second of all, it's diseased. Continuing, it says, the Lord's curse is upon the earth, upon man, upon beast, upon fish in the sea, and as transgression becomes almost universal, the curse will be permitted to become as broad and as deep as the transgression. So we ain't seen nothing yet. But it is getting to a point where we can't see this now. Everything from the red tide coming in, where you see millions upon millions of fish dead on the shores, because of those algae blooms, they call it, or Fusaria fasciticata, that little parasite that turns seawater blood red. Everything from that to mad cow disease in deer. That's right, I said deer. You know, those little cute little Bambis running around in the fields out there in Cook County that I know of. Because those are the pretty ones, the ones in Cook County with the big windshield wiper tail. You know, we call them the windshield wiper tail because when they get scared, they run away, and that tail just wings back and forth, back and forth. It's real cute. But they're the ones that had that pretty face, you know, the nicely designed snout and all that. And they're getting the bovine thing, the mad cow.
So
the elk in Colorado, yeah. Yeah. Fran was just, I don't know if you guys heard her, but she was in Colorado, what, 3 years ago? 3 or 4 years ago. And the elk were leaning against trees because they couldn't stand upright. They were weak. They were, like, feeble. I mean, and that's probably some kind of...
It was a vehicle around, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah. And that's in nature. That's without man even having his hand. I mean, this is in these so-called preserves, you know, like where you got, like, these national parks. Continuing, it says, disease is contracted by the use of meat. The diseased flesh of these dead carcasses are sold in the marketplaces, and disease among men is the sure result. You don't have to be a brain scientist to figure that one out. All right? Like people think, you know, okay, well, if you cook the pig long enough, that awful, disgusting animal isn't going to cause a problem for the humans. Well, I beg to differ. You know, we have a God that does create things to do certain things. The pig was designed to eat waste. And because it was designed to eat rotted waste and stuff like that, even its flesh has things in it to help it assimilate the poisons and the toxins it's taking in. If we take these poisons and toxins in, you get tumors. You get, your body is going to try to digest or try to do away with whatever it can, and when it gets garbage in and it can't send it out to the normal methods, it has to store it someplace in the body to get it out of the way, to get it to be less dangerous for the rest of the system. And then attack it with white blood cells and just cover it. And then the end result is a tumor. But people think they can, you know, if they cook pork long enough, it should be okay. But I remember reading this about 3 or 4 years ago. This one man took a pork chop, and he put it in his oven at 500 degrees for 3 straight hours, right? And he took the pork chop out, which was just a charcoal briquette. At that heat for 3 hours, it was a chunk of charcoal, okay? Just to give you an idea that, look, I don't care how much you cook this pork, it's still dangerous. He takes it out, breaks it open on his kitchen table on a big sheet of white paper and got one of those Radio Shack microscopes, you know, with the batteries. You remember, we had those that you look at butterfly wings with. They're awesome. It's just, it's really neat. They're only like $5. He you know, turned it on and looked at the broken up piece of pork on his kitchen table, and he saw these little cocoons. real tiny little cocoons. They're shaped like little tiny footballs. And he broke them open, and it was a live worm inside. So even if the trichinosis, yeah, I got trichinosis from eating pork rinds and pork rinds, how cooked is pork if you're eating pork rinds? It's boiled in oil. It's overcooked. It's rock hard. Even the cracklings, the hard ones. And I ended up getting that trichinosis problem for a few years. To give you an idea what that is, these little worms end up in your body. The ones that literally don't get chewed up by you, which the odds are they're not going to get chewed up anyway because they're so tiny. They get in your body. They get through your digestive tract somehow, like wiggle their way through your intestinal wall and work its way through everything in your body to get to a place it wants to be, and that is similar to that of the pig, and I guess it's the sinew muscles areas or the joints, because my problem was I started getting ganglions in my wrists. Remember those? The fatty deposits that show up at the wrists? They're gone now completely because I haven't had pork in I don't know how many years. And then I could not lift my own arm to comb my hair, my right arm. That's where the worms decided to settle in my right elbow somewhere. I remember every now and then it would just get extremely painful. If I lifted my right arm, it was intense. To give you an idea, it doesn't care how healthy you are. When I worked out with weights, I used to curl 4 sets of 10, 125 pounds of weight. So I was not unhealthy to the eyes, okay? But I could not raise my right arm to lift a sheet of paper. So sometimes that would go on for a week. And I remember the one time I was working, I was doing maintenance in Danville. And I had this job to tear apart all this stuff. And I had to use a sledgehammer to do it. And I'm right-handed. That was the most painful day. Because, you can work through the pain and it gets, but it's, oh, I hated that day. It was like 6 straight hours of swinging that sledge. And my arm was killing me. I couldn't tell the guy, Anyway, continuing, it says, the Lord would bring his people into a position where they will not touch or taste the flesh of dead animals. Now, I was reading somewhere in Sister White's writings, or I don't know who it was, or a preacher said it, I don't know, where it said something to the effect that the remnant of God, the Gideon band, if you will, or the 144,000, the ones that receive the latter rain will not be flesh eaters in any way, shape, or form. Does anybody remember that quote that's in the room? If it's from Sister White, throw it in the room if you can remember it in the audio chat. I know anybody here doesn't remember because I've asked here before. But something to the effect that there would be no flesh eating whatsoever. Even the clean meats, even if you raised the cow in your backyard and it was grazing on your lawn and you didn't give it any pesticides, think about it. We're not going to be eating any flesh in heaven, so why not get used to the diet down here before we get there? All right, continuing, it says, then let not these things be prescribed by any physician who has a knowledge of the truth for this time. There is no safety in eating the flesh of dead animals, and in a short time the milk of the cow will also be excluded from the diet of God's commandment-keeping people. Praise the Lord for that. We quit that years ago as well. Think about it. Are you a cow? Then why are you drinking cow's milk? The cow's milk is designed for its calf. And how fast does a calf grow? Because of the growth hormones that are naturally going to be in that milk. I mean, look at the milk of a whale. The milk of a whale causes the baby to gain 100 pounds a day or something like that, or the blue whale, or is it the sperm whale, the big one? I think it's the blue whale, where the baby grows at a phenomenal rate from the milk, huh? Well, any kind of whale, but there was this one I was reading about. It's in that Amazing Facts booklet. Yeah, it was something like 100 pounds a day the little guy would grow because of its mother's milk. Now, look at the size of a cow and the size of your infant. Mother's milk is called mother's milk for a reason. Continuing, it says, in a short time it will not be safe to use anything that comes from the animal creation. Those who take God at his... And that time is now, by the way. She says, in a short time... that will be not safe to take anything that comes from the animal, and that's now. That is right now. That's today's world. You cannot take, there's nothing safe from any animal today. Everything from the pesticides that they give chickens, as well as cutting off their beaks to stop them fighting from each other, and the antibiotics that they drench those chickens with because they're walking around and eating their own feces, to the stuff that they injected to the cows. Remember the dairy farm we used to live down the street from? And how the guy, he was telling me, he says, yeah, these things are pumped up with all sorts of stuff to stop any kind of problem. It's the pharmakia. It's the Vatican. That's all they're doing is, you know. Anyway, it says, those who take God at his word and obey his commandments with the whole heart will be blessed. He'll be their shield of protection. But the Lord will not be trifled with. Distrust. What was that? All right. He'll be their shield of protection. But the Lord will not be trifled with. Distrust, disobedience, and alienation from God's will and way will place the sinner in a position where the Lord cannot give him his divine favor. In other words, you're on your own. All heaven is working to resist Satan's power to bind the strong man. The angels of God are working to put restrictions upon the power of the enemy until man shall be fully tested and tried. Hear the gracious invitation made to every soul. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This is not a bodily movement, but the submitting of the human will to the will of the supreme wisdom. The human agent does not have to go into heaven to bring God down or into the deep to bring him up. He is not far from every one of us. In him we live, move, and have our being. That is such a comfort to the soul. When you're trying to draw nigh to Christ so that he'll draw nigh to you, because that's what I've been concentrating on these last few years, is to try to get as close as possible to him so that I can stop all the idiocy that I do in my life, you know? Because I still see things I don't like. It bothers me, you know? Continuing, it says, the Lord invites every human agent to meet him on the ground of the great atoning sacrifice. A man is required to give a cordial assent to the terms of salvation and be reconciled to the will of God, to do all his commandments and walk in obedience and fellowship with God. The word of God gives the conditions, testifying, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The invitation is gracious, full, and free to all who receive Christ as their personal Savior. To all such he gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Christ's dying love is the pledge we bring to the Father for reconciliation with him. And to all who advance toward him, he gives a hearty welcome. We may take God at his word. There is a oneness between man and his God. Christ, I like the way she said that. There is a oneness between man and his God. That is so nice, that statement. Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. Fallen man may place himself under his Father's protection. And he truly is a Father. I mean, he's not just God. He is our Father. That's that term of endearment that, you know, our Heavenly Father is just so... I mean, you could see the fatherly aspects of his love, the way he treats, and the way he chastises. Your daddy spanks you. Why shouldn't he spank us? You know what I mean by spanking, the chastisement. The prodigal may be covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness and given a place at his table. Again, I will refer to the diet question. We cannot now do as we have ventured to do in the past in regard to meat eating. It has always been a curse to the human family, but now it is made particularly so in the curse which God has pronounced upon the herds of the field because of man's transgression and sin. The disease upon animals is becoming more and more common, and our only safety is in leaving meat entirely alone. See, this is one of the reasons the cattle and all this other stuff, they're pumping these cattle with these drugs, is because for some reason the animals are getting sick. They never used to have that problem. You know, constant sicknesses. Remember in the cowboy days, the guys would have their cattle and everything would be fine with the cattle until, you know, then all of a sudden you get this disease that runs rampant in the whole herd, you know. We see, you know, they act it out sometimes on those DVDs we have of Bonanza or whatever, you know. Those movies that you could see of Bonanza. The old-fashioned moral and wholesome kind of entertainment, if you will. Well, I don't know. There's some stuff in there that you shouldn't embrace, of course, too, with the guns. But it's amazing how in those days, once in a while, you'd hear of a herd getting attacked by some kind of sickness and it brings down the whole herd. But nowadays, all the cows are sick, and that's why all the cows are getting these drugs. And what do we already know about these drugs? It doesn't heal anybody. It just masks the symptoms. So if the cow's walking around and getting all sloppy, inject him with something to straighten him up. He'll still have the disease in him, but he'll at least be walking better and easier to sell at market. Continuing, he says, the most aggravated diseases are now prevalent, and the very last thing that physicians who are enlightened should do is to advise patients to eat meat. It is in eating meat so largely in this country that men and women are becoming demoralized, their blood corrupted, and disease planted in the system. What's one of the things that you've noticed with, if anybody's had pet dogs, about how a dog changes? How a dog gets much more violent, and for example, Spud, our dog, when we were raising him, he had the dry dog food and just natural things, and it was not no meat, stuff like that. I think it was, or was it, who, which dog, what? Yeah. What I'm saying is that when an animal gets a taste of blood, fresh blood, they change. I mean, they get a desire for that blood from that day forward. It's an acquired taste. Blood doesn't taste it. Yeah. The first time, maybe that's a better way of putting it. Like the first time our dog killed a mouse or a rat or a rabbit, from that day on, it was just like impossible to get him to not kill something. He just loves the taste of that blood. Animals become more... It's like, what's his face? I'm not going to mention his name. The guy used to raise the Dobermans. He says his dogs become a lot more vicious and easier to sell as guard dogs when he feeds them liver and blood. Just let them drink blood. Raw meat, just straight raw meat. Or let them drink blood out of their, put blood, pour it right on them. I knew guys I read about how they actually put gunpowder in their food. Why do they put gunpowder? Well, the gunpowder makes ulcers in the stomach of the dog, and the dog is in pain, which means he's always going to be mean, always in a bad mood. That's sad, because it kills the dog eventually. Continuing, he says, because of meat eating, many die, and they do not understand the cause. If the truth were known, it would bear testimony it was the flesh of animals that passed through death, that have passed through death. The thought of feeding on dead flesh is repulsive. Now it is. I mean, years ago I used to love it, but now I can. That's what she's saying, and I agree. But there is something besides this. In eating meat, we partake of diseased dead flesh, and this sows its seed of corruption in the human organism. I write to you, my brother, that the giving of prescriptions for the eating of the flesh of animals shall no more be practiced in our sanitarium. There is no excuse for this. There is no safety in after influence and results upon the human mind. In the after influence and the results on the human mind. Let us be health reformers in every sense of the term. Let us make known in our institutions that there is no longer a meat table even for the boarders. And then the education given upon the discharging of a meat diet will not be only saying but doing. If patronage is less, so let it be. In other words, if we lose money on this or less people come, I don't think she's talking about money, but the thing is if less people arrive, so be it. Who cares? It's best to do the right thing. That's what's important. The principles will be far greater value when they are understood, when it is known that the life of no living thing shall be taken to sustain the life of a Christian. In other words, you got to kill something to sustain your life. That doesn't sound Christ-like. Because I know there's no killing in heaven. In this country, we see the necessity of our words and deeds harmonizing. I had a decided talk with the physicians just at the right time, and I think now the question will be settled with them. I spoke Sabbath upon this subject, and the church was full of believers and unbelievers. So these will know now our position without mistake. Of course, there must be an abundance of fruit and well-cooked grains. We are setting the example of making out-of-door ovens and baking our own bread. Three families use our brick oven, and it is a great blessing to us all. I continue my two-meal system, and I eat very sparingly and seldom ever know what it means to be hungry. Although, and that's nice, two meals a day and not hungry, and not big meals either. Although at times circumstances compel us to unable to eat our meals at regular periods, yet I am never hungry. And the neat thing about that, give me the highlighter. And the neat thing about the hunger thing, you know, you get those hunger, like when you wake up in the morning and if you don't have your breakfast within a half an hour or an hour, you start getting that hunger pain kind of a thing going on. If you ignore it, in about 15 to 25 minutes, it's gone. It's totally gone. But if you do the right thing, though, with the two meals, because that's what I'm trying now, is the two meals a day, and then if late at night, if I have some, well, not late at night, you know, many hours before bed, the last thing I would do is like fruit. That's about it now, because that's the best way to go. Fruit will go through you quicker, and that way when you're sleeping, your stomach gets to sleep, too. If your body's working in some part, you're going to wake up irritable, too, on top of everything else. All right, let's stop here, and I'll be back in a minute. I got to get a drink of water. Be right back.